Mr. Smith reporting over WOR New York, 710 on your dial. And here's Gene Shepard.
Cincinnati is such a tough town, I'll tell you. I mean, the people are really tough out there. A pistol-packing man threatened Van Clay's life Wednesday if he did not turn over his wallet. "Go ahead and kill me," Clay said. "I've been thinking of doing it myself." The robber just walked in on the street with a sad look. There you go. Hey, it's the first time you've worked this, isn't it? Yes, indeed. I mean, really worked it. I mean, there's a difference. I kind of like it. That says a great deal about the tenor of our times, though. You know, guy's getting held up, and somebody puts a gun in his ribs. And says, "All right, put him up. This is a robbery. Stick up. Hand over your dough. Or I'll kill you." At which point, the guy looks him in the eye and says, "Hey, that'll be kind of a convenience. I've been thinking of a way to do it myself. Go ahead and shoot." And it says a great deal about our world. I mean, you know, if you're going to be metaphysical about it, nothing like a metaphysical thought. Speaking of metaphysicals, the comments on our time. Now, here, I don't know whether this is a good sign or not. You know, the straws in the wind department. I don't know whether it's good or not. I got a note here by the Associated Press from Seattle. I can't tell at this point whether it is a later investigation. And scientific testing will produce a conclusion. I have not come to a conclusion about this. Well, when I was out in Seattle, I was out in Seattle last year, see? And one of the first things I heard about did you know that Seattle has a rumor center? The Seattle Rumor Center. And, yeah, I mean, they process rumors. That's it. And they have an all-night, 24-hour-a-day phone number. You know, like here in town, you can dial a prayer. You can dial a good thought for the day. Whatever happened to the outfit they had in town where you could dial a poem? Remember that one? Yeah, you dial these guys, you know, and you get a... I guess they, a lot of bad poetry got on, and eventually the calls dropped off. And so, but they, you know, you could dial a poem here in town. And in certain cities now, you can dial an analyst. In fact, lately, I don't know whether you've noticed on late television, it's always on very late TV, because I guess the theory, and I think there is a modicum of truth to this, the theory is that if you're watching at 4:15 a.m., you're watching a movie that was blasted by the critics as being rotten in the year 1928, and it hasn't gotten any better since. And in fact, the only thing that's changed about it is that the film has gotten raggedy. It's been cut up. You can't see what you're looking at. Looks like it was filmed underwater in the Okefenokee Swamp. And you're sitting there watching it. What, doesn't that say something about you? When you got to go to work at 7:15 a.m., right? It says a great deal about you. So what do they have on those shows? If you notice, one of the commercials that comes on, it says, Are you dogged by anxieties? Do you have unspoken fears? Is evil stomping around in your skull and you can't tell anybody about it? Well, call this number. There is always an ear to listen to your griping. And it says, yes, the New York Council for Easing the Gripes Association makes this telephone call a free call. You just call in, and they'll listen to you sympathetically. They don't say anything. They don't say, well, yeah, we'll send you $12. Or, okay, we'll send the girl over. Nothing like that. They just listen. Now, see, this, I don't know whether, have you heard of this, you two guys? Either of you heard this? Well, see, I think we're becoming so inured to public service spots on commercial TV that we very rarely actually watch them. You know, there's always a little kid on crutches coming out, you know, and somebody says, give now, call this number. And you get to the point, now you don't see them, you know. It's just like if there's 28 million people and you're in a rowboat, you know, and you're rowing along and the ocean is all around you and your rowboat is leaking and you're rowing along and there's 28 million people in the water howling, help, help! After a while, you just don't listen to any. I mean, 28 million people, you're not going to listen. And I think the proliferation of pleas, it's risen to a great banshee wail. If you were to even send one penny, I'm going to tell you, I predict this. If you were to send one penny to every outfit that asks for money on any one given night on television from, say, 7 p.m., to 7 a.m. the next morning on one channel, the average man's paycheck would be gone by 8 o'clock, maybe 10 o'clock that night. One penny. Now, do you hear what I'm saying? If you ever watch, so ultimately you don't even watch them. You know, the public service, the PS spots come on hour after hour after hour in the middle of all this, you know, stuff, and you don't see these things, you know. But once in a while, one will come winging out, like this one that said, is your mind dogged by fears? Call this number. And a sympathetic ear, 24 hours a day, will just listen to your griping. That's all. Just listen. That's it. You want somebody to talk to? Well, they don't say they're going to, you know, there's an analyst on the other end, or there's a priest, and just some klutz like you sitting at the other end. You call up. I don't know how it would work, though. You know, you dial a number, and you say, hello? The guy says, a sympathetic ear here. Well, look, oh, God. I'll tell you. Oh, gee, what a time. First of all, I'll tell you, it's this damn TV set. I'll tell you, for one thing, the knob is stripped. I have not been able to get off Channel 7 now because I can't turn the channels. And I'm sitting there going out of my bird. Not only that, you know I got two tickets last week. Two tickets! Two! $15 a piece! And why? Well, because I walked into the store, I had no place to park. Guy's got to eat, right? He's got to eat, right? Well, I go into the Gristini's, right? I park in front of the Gristini's. I'm not in there 30 seconds. I come out with a quart of milk. My kid's crying. He needs milk. I come in, $15 ticket. Guy says I was lucky he didn't throw it away. What a town. Wait a minute. You bring up the car, right? Car. All right, I'll tell you what happened. My car, 2 days after I got it, the back two, only two, the back ones, the two back hubcaps, gone. Just like that. Who stole them? Who the hell knows? Hey, sympathetic ear, you still there? Yes, sir, go ahead. I'm still listening. It's a very interesting story. Continue.
Oh, well, all right. I'll tell you another thing. God. I mean, I'm waiting in line at Macy's, right? They got these plastic sunglasses on sale. Plastic sunglasses, 79 cents. Unbreakable. All right, I go all the way downtown, get in line. I wait in line for 45 minutes. I finally get to the head of the line. What happens? Run out of sunglasses. No sunglasses. What do they say to me? Sorry, come back. We may have some more next Monday. Well, that ain't all. I'll tell you another thing. You think you're hurt? Oh, God. Oh, this place. This town's driving me out of my bird. Right down in front of my apartment. Okay? There's only three families living in the brownstone, right? We got three Count them. Three garbage cans in front. What? One is marked one. One is marked two. One is marked three. I live in apartment three. I go down there today with two bags of garbage wrapped in a plastic. I go down. My garbage can is filled. I never put none of it in there. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Dead fish. There's a dead cat in there. And it's all piled up all over the sidewalk. What am I going to do? So I try to put it in guys. Number two is filled. Number one's filled. And number one is in Bermuda. He ain't been using that garbage can. Number two died last week. Who the hell's putting garbage in our garbage cans? I call up that guy. What's his name? Kretschmer? I called Kretschmer up, and I said to Kretschmer, well, I couldn't get Kretschmer. I got his office. I said, Mr. Kretschmer's office. I said, somebody's filling up my garbage can. I said, write a letter. Write a letter. Boy, write a letter. That reminds me, I wrote a letter last month to my mother. She has not got it yet. That's the mail in New York. Where does she live? 86th Street. I live on 10th Street. 1 month, no letter gets to my mother. I write a letter to Kretschmer. Huh? Oh. Hey, are you listening?
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's very exciting. Continue. I'm really enjoying this. This is a sympathetic ear here. Continue, sir.
All right. That's not all. I want to tell you another thing. Let me tell you this. I forgot about this one. I go down to the store. I finally get a can of milk. Right, I get this milk. I get this carton of milk. I bring it home. I open up the carton, and that milk has been sour for a month. It's been sour for a month. So I take it back, and the guy says, you must have put it in your refrigerator. I didn't say that. He don't even remember me. Are you still there? Hello, are you there? Hey, sympathetic ear. Are you there? Oh, okay, so that's another thing. The sympathetic ear. You're not even going to listen to me now, huh? All right, that's the last drum.
Bring it up, baker, please. Now, a little more than relax. Did you like that little drama? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's painfully familiar. Why, the catalog of gripes of the average guy walking around in the city of New York, if put between soft covers, printed in tiny, tiny type, would probably weigh five times what the Manhattan phone book weighs. I mean, just walking around ordinary, kvetching little gripes. So no wonder we need a voice to talk to at night, just a call. All together now, it's time to sing, gang. Get ready. After this endless vamp is over. Reminds you of lace curtains, doesn't it? With ball fringe hanging on the bottom. Which reminds me, this is WOR New York. La Oh, I'm the Sheik of Araby. Your love belongs to me. At night, when you're asleep, into your tent I'll creep. Yes, the stars above will shine, and the light a way to love. Boo-boo-boo-boo. You'll rule this land with me. I'm the Sheik of Araby. Very good. That was really lovely. Reset that, please. Reset that. No, I'll tell you what you do. Turn it over to the other side, which is even more instantly forgettable on that side. The Sheik of Araby, your love belongs to me. At night when I'm out walking around. We have here a little note that suggests that you go to the House of Chan. It's a very fine restaurant. I recommend it very highly. The House of Chan. Excellent, excellent Chinese food. And by the way, their food is prepared instantly when you come in there. In other words, they don't keep that stuff sitting around down there on the wok, you know, so that, you know, they fix the egg rolls 4 hours before you get there, and they turn out to taste a little bit like fried doorknobs when you get them. Everything is prepared the minute you order it. You know, they got 22 angry chefs all standing at attention at their wok. You know, what is it, a wok? Any of you out there? You know what a wok is? It has nothing to do with taking the dachshund out for a wok. a wok is a great big Chinese pan, like, you know, it's a big thing. It looks like a parabolic reflector. If you took a wok, you know, and you drilled a hole in it and put a little quarter-wave antenna sticking out of the middle of it, you'd be in business. You could pick up incoming enemies. But nevertheless, they not bad, is it? They have 22 guys standing by their shining woks waiting for your order. And don't think they're going to like it if you order a big burger or a cheeseburger. You order this magnificent Chinese food at the House of Chan, 52nd and 7th Avenues in the heart of downtown, swinging, fantastic, unbelievable, griping New York. Oh, I'm the Sheik. And speaking of restaurants, I have another one here, and I'm going to put it right next to the House of Chan because it's also a legend in this city. For those of you who like to dig into a little northern Italian French food, which I happen to go for in a big way. This is, to me, I like the northern Italian food much better than the southern Italian food, which is very different. Very few people make that, you know, these days, that differentiation, but it's really different. In other words, the further south you go in Italy, the more you run to pasta, you know, fettuccine, all this jazz, you know, linguine and fettuccine, and McClamo sauce. But as you get further north, they run more to elegant seafood and very elegant veal dishes. And then when you get way up in the northern part of Italy, right by the French border, you have a very interesting cuisine, which is French slash Italian. And this is what Jack's Epicure specializes in. It's a great restaurant. It's been there for 50 years. It's an elegant restaurant. And it's at 344 West 46th Street. In other words, if you're going to the theater, it's right off the theater district. It's a couple of blocks away from the theater district. In fact, it's right damn near in the heart of it. 344 West 46th Street. It's a perfect place for a before-show dinner. And they have an elegant bar, very, very fine prices. And according to their menu, and this is according to their copy, too, the prices will remind you of 1947, which is quite true. It's great food at really interesting prices. They have baked clams, breast of capon. Listen to this one, a fillet of sole with grapes. That's typical northern Italian, believe it or not. And it's Jack's Epicure, 344 West 46th Street. And incidentally, this restaurant is named Jack's Epicure because it was started back in the 20s and was the most elegant speakeasy in the city of New York. It really was. And I didn't know, you know, I was talking to the people there, and he says, you know, that in the days when speakeasies were really big, I mean, the real speakeasies, they weren't like the movies show them. You know, guys knocking on the door and they're sitting there drinking this stuff. He says the way a really elegant New York speakeasy was, it was like an underground restaurant, really good food. He said all the showbiz people would come there. And Jack's Epicure is the last of the great speakeasies in New York. And it's a genuine one. 344 East 46th Street. Or West, rather. I'm sorry. 344 West 46th. And they're open a lot of time. They're open every day except Sunday. Luncheon and dinner are served every weekday. Okay? I was going to tell you what happened in Seattle. I started out, you know, telling you this, the great straw on the wind. Well, when I went out to Seattle, as I said before, I went out to Seattle, and the first thing they all told me was about the Seattle Rumor Center. And I said, what's the Seattle Rumor Center? And they said, well, give them a call, see what happens. And so I did, and I just picked up the phone, I put a dime in it, and I called from a street corner phone, and this voice came on and says, Seattle Rumor Center. And I said, is this the Rumor Center? Yes. Is there anything you care to know about? And I said, yes, I've heard a rumor. I read it in the underground paper here, and the rumor is that California is going to fall off the continent. That California's going to sink. Now, that rumor is very big in underground papers. I have two rumors. One is California is going to fall into the ocean sometime next year. And the other rumor is that Paul McCartney is dead. I've heard that rumor many times in the underground paper, and they said there's a code in the Beatles records that tells you that. Is this true? Would you please tell me about those rumors? Yes, one moment, please. The California rumor here is filed under number 10B. That rumor is totally untrue. The California Seismographic Institution says that California will not fall into the ocean until the late 1980s. The report that it will fall into the ocean early in 1972 is untrue. It will fall into the ocean in the late 1880s. Now, as far as the next rumor is concerned, that's filed here under 13L. Yes, McCartney. Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney is alive and is living in Ipswich, England. He has opened a clam bar there and is doing quite well and is open for business. Be sure to call us the next time you want to check on a rumor. Thank you very much. That's for God's sakes. You can really call this place and they tell you about rumors. That's actually what happened. So at that point, I thought, now there is a great idea. Well, I hereby report there's an interesting straw in the wind. According to the Associated Press, the Seattle Rumor Center has closed. It was a fantastic success 4 years ago. It is out of rumors. The rumors no longer are there's not as many rumors as there were. Well, now that's it. That's a really interesting straw in the wind. And he says, I can't figure it out. The head of it is the Reverend Everett J. Jensen, who is the president of the four-year-old nonprofit Center for Rumors. He says, well, we can't understand it. We have plenty of funds and plenty of backing from the city and the county, but we just don't have any rumors anymore. So we're going out of business. How do you like that? Can you imagine what a fantastic thing it would be if the Gripe Center, the city of New York, was out of business, no more gripes? Well, would you agree that would be a straw in the wind? Well, no, I think most people live their entire lives by rumors. Very few people ever know anything actually. It's all rumor. I mean, I'm very serious about that. What is a rumor? Rumor is just a thing that sort of gets circulated. Everybody kind of believes it. And And nobody questions it. And in fact, a rumor can eventually become accepted as an absolute fact. Nobody argues with it. One of the great rumors of all time occurred in the year 1927. I have incontrovertible proof to that effect, that a man standing on the street corner of 17th and Vine in the city of Philadelphia just casually mentioned to another guy, says, "You know, I believe that the future of the nation, we will be saved by the youth of this country." Well, there was a guy walking past and heard this. And he got down to his office, which is on Chestnut Street in the 1700 block. It was a law firm. He wasn't a lawyer himself, but he worked as a clerk there. He went up to the 10th floor and then walked past the receptionist. And he said, "Hey, listen, honey, I just heard a fantastic rumor that we're being saved by the kids, that the children are going to save the world. And I heard this rumor." And she says, "Well, who said it?" He says, "Well, it was a very important scientist. I don't know his name, but he's down there talking on the street, and everybody heard him talking." She says, "Really?" And she then, at that point, picked up the phone and called her friend Vera, who, by the way, lived in Camden. Vera, incidentally, worked in a furrier shop in Camden, which is of no importance to this story, except that for historical accuracy, she did work as a cashier in a furrier shop. And she called up Vera and says, "Hey, Vera, do you know what I just heard? I just heard a rumor. In fact, it's a fact. It's not a rumor. I just heard a scientist say, in fact, there was a whole group of scientists over at Hahnemann Hospital, as a matter of fact, say that children's brains are bigger and they're stronger and they're capable of deeper thoughts this time, in this point in history, than at any other time. Isn't that fantastic?" And Vera says, "Well, why?" "Well, I don't know what it must be. It must be the food or something. You know, people are eating Wheaties now, and they never ate Wheaties years ago, and it's the Wheaties, the Breakfast of Champions, that's doing it to them." Well, for God's sakes, that rumor spread over the country like a vast tidal wave, and now it's no longer even considered a rumor. It's considered a fact that all children are smarter than adults. This is considered an absolute fact in any conceivable field, ranging all the way from international relationships, political theory. You should name anything, ask your kid, and he'll tell you. Is it a true fact? In fact, have you seen the commercials recently about the Pontiac? Ask a teenage expert. He'll tell you about what car to buy. You've seen that. Well, that's all part and parcel of it. Nobody accepts the fact that it's a rumor. It's just a fact now. So rumors are what most of us live by. A lot of people are instantly going to write me and say, that's not a rumor, that's fact. Well, that's the point I make, is that a rumor quickly becomes fact once it is circulated plenty enough times. Finally gets to the point where nobody even wants to hear about the truth, because the truth at that point then seems to be a rumor. See, it goes full circle. Well, anybody who's ever been in the Army, I'll tell you, has ever been in the Army, he knows, or in any of the armed services, he knows that the rumor has a peculiar, virulent life of its own. And, of course, the idea of the Seattle Rumor Center is not new to anybody that's been in the armed forces. The Rumor Center, as a matter of fact, was a latrine in the Army. That was the Rumor Center. And that was where rumors achieved their greatest vibrant life and, in fact, flowered and blossomed and became richer and more redolent by the hour. And guys would sit around and think up rumors. In fact, I remember Gasser one time sitting on his foot locker. See, we were in a radar company, and all these guys messed around with radar, see. And Gasser's sitting in his foot locker, and he was a great student of the rumor. And so there's always people who love rumors. What do you think gossip columnists survive on? The Earl Wilson syndrome. Who is dating who with the initials LD, dot, dot, dot? Could it be OL, dot, 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 question mark? We're only asking, that kind of stuff. People love this glob. The fact is far less interesting than rumor, because rumor can be anything. Fact is only a finite substance, And today, rumors proliferate. They proliferate in political speeches. They proliferate in the in a lot of Nader's stuff is rumor, you know. They're great. You love it, see? It was once reported that a lady Chevrolet took off and flew 7,000 feet in the air in Pittsburgh. And I want the General Motors people to. So, you know, by the time you fight this rumor to earth, it's the public all believes that it actually happened, and that's the end of it. See, there's no question about it. So rumors are very exciting, and many a career has been built on rumors. And, in fact, Gasser's career in the Army, I recognize as one of the great careers built on the rumor. Gasser became our resident Earl Wilson. He any rumor Gasser knew. I mean, you'd come in, and he would hold court. Every night after chow, Gasser would very casually take his dirty fatigues or his old his belt, his cartridge belt, or whatever he had to go, you know, and he would go down to spend his evening holding court in the John, in the latrine. And it became recognized that Gasser would be in the company latrine for consultation between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m., at which point he would go back into the barracks. And he would hang up his now clean fatigues, which are going to be drying overnight, and to proceed to close up shop. He would not discuss any rumor when he returned to the barracks. His office hours were in the latrine from 7 to 9. And, and of course, Gasser realized that people who are told that there are no rumors are vastly disappointed. So Gasser, realizing that his audience, just like a tea leaf reader, realizes that the person who comes into the tea leaf to get their palm read already have some anxieties or they wouldn't be there. No way. I mean, if you're feeling groovy, you got no worries, you're not going to go and get you. You know, and so there's a certain kind of person who has these little vague fears over their head all the time. See, so they'll take any straw. They'll read the Abbey. They'll read horoscopes. Any damn thing they can lay their hands on, see. And so there's an old George Ade, great George Ade moral. He says, give them what they think they want. Did you hear that? Give them what they think they want. Not what they want. Give them what they think they want. So, if a woman comes into the tea reader, and, you know, Madame Zaza, and that she, you know, pays the $7 or whatever. You know, crossing the palm with silver is out of date now because there's been inflation in the tea reading business. You do not cross any palms with silver, friend. No way. It's nice, crumply, crackling, folding money. So you cross the palm with the crackling money, and Madame Zsa Zsa then sits there and swirls the tea around, at which point she then says, ah, I see. This is very interesting. Very interesting. Have you been having some difficulties lately? Well, of course. Why the hell is she there? And immediately this woman says, this woman, Madame Zaza, has fantastic insight. Already she sees I'm having problems. At which point then she says, and does this problem involve, well, how shall I put it, does it involve a man? What problems don't to a woman? I mean, so immediately the woman says, oh my God, what insight. She's fantastic. May I seize your hand, please? Oh, it's very interesting. Very interesting. You see this line here is the ones that crosses with that, as it points out to the North Star. This one here is pointing directly to the second moon of Orion. This is very interesting. You realize what this means, that you are a very generous person. You are not only a generous person, but people are taking advantage of you. See that little line there says, people's taking advantage. That line is a long one. That means people take advantage of you. Is this true? What person does not think that people are taking advantage of them? Name one person. Impossible. So instantly, this woman again thinks, my God, this woman is eerie. She knows everything. At which point, then she says, ah, yes, but I see something else. I see that you are having money troubles. You have problems occasionally with money. I can see this. See, because this line here curves down, and you notice it makes, can you see that there? This is a partly erased dollar sign. You see that? Very interesting. You are having problems. Well, she could tell that instantly, because the lady's sitting there with her elbow sticking out of her coat, you know, and she's got cardboard sticking out of the bottom of her shoes. Well, rumor is a groovy thing. So Gasser would take advantage of that. And I remember Gasser squatting down there, you know, in the latrine. And he's got his wet fatigues piled up next to him. He always goes in there and washes his fatigues. He's got his wet fatigues there. Five guys are in there taking a shower, and you can hear them clomping around in their clogs, yelling back and forth. And Gasser has taken one of the central seats in the latrine, of which there were 25 in a row. And Gasser is squatting there with his fatigues piled down, you know, and he's wringing out his belt, or he's wringing out his leggings or something. You know, he's looking very... By the way, one thing about a true rumor expert, he never volunteers a rumor. He only confirms the worst fears of the guy that's come in. Or, using Gasser's technique, he may insinuate a second or a third rumor in the rumor that the guy has brought in. This is the true rumor expert. And so, guys would come in. I remember one night, I'm in the latrine there, you know, and taking a shower, and I'm watching Gasser at work, because he was so great at it. Gasser's squatting down there, see? And up comes Edwards. Edwards was the truck driver in our company. And the Edwards was a soured man. To begin with, Edwards, like his buddy, there were two truck drivers. They worked in shifts, Edwards and Elkins. Now, both of them had their own secret sorrow. Elkins was the more interesting, because Elkins had enlisted in the Army under the mistaken belief that we're going to make him an air cadet. You know, he saw one of those signs, you know, it says your future, and it shows the planes flying and all that, the guy looking out of the cockpit, and he's got these big goggles looking real groovy. And he signed up. Well, 12 minutes after he signed up, they discovered he not only had an advanced case of astigmatism, he was also colorblind, and he was only 3 feet 9 inches tall. Now, they didn't tell him that before, at which point they said, sorry, Elkins, no flying for you. However, we'll give you the next best thing. We'll make you a truck driver. And so Elkins had a 50-mission crush hat, you know, the whole bit. And he drove that quarter-ton truck. We had all these little trucks, you know, we had all kinds of trucks. He drove our panel truck. He drove we had a 2.5-ton truck. He drove those babies low, man, and mean. And he was bitter. He was bitter. Every time we'd go to the post-movies, I always had movies of the Air Force, you know, and he'd sit back there and glower in the back. You know, he had everything but a pair of tin wings on for flying that truck. So Elkins and Edwards were pretty sore guys. So Edwards comes in. Edwards, by the way, was meticulous and a worrisome guy. You know, I've noticed that neatness, very excessive neatness, often is the sign of a very nervous person, a very insecure person. Have you noticed that? Oh, I asked the wrong guy. Look at how neat he is. No, guys that are always dusting things, you know, making sure that everything is clean. These are guys that very twitchy people in a lot of ways, and they really are, because psychologically, you know, there's all kinds of reasons for it. But Edwards was fantastically. He was, in fact, not only excessively neat, but he caused us to have a lot of trouble during inspections. For example, we would be having an inspection Saturday morning, and everybody's polished his belt buckle. You know what Edwards would do? Edwards would polish, now get this, he would polish the little brass grommets on his GI shoes where the laces went through. Well, I mean, everybody's standing there with their shoes shining and everything, and his grommets are glowing. At which point, Lieutenant Cherry would gig the whole damn company for dirty grommets in their shoes, and only Edwards. So he was starting this all the time. See, so he's that kind of guy. So Edwards, he used to play Edwards right to the hilt. And I remember Gasser sitting there, you know, he's right in the middle of the, you can hear the shower going. Edwards comes in and says, Gasser. And the Gasser says, yes, Edwards. Gasser, you know, I heard we're going to ship. Is there anything to that, that we're going to ship? Well, see, all nervous guys are always afraid to change jobs. Even if they're in some hellhole, they don't want to leave it, because their theory always is that the next hellhole has to be worse. So here we are in this absolute armpit of the world. And everybody had heat rash, had lice, fleas. The temperature was 400 degrees on a cool day. We did not have more than a teaspoon of water to drink, and he was afraid we were going to ship. At which point the gasser says, yes, there is. There have been orders cut. I can say that definitely. There have been orders cut. Well, of course, now he's got Edwards, flipping. What do you mean orders cut? Where'd you hear that? I'm not at liberty to divulge my informant. However, it is a usually reliable source. Let's put it this way. It's as high as it's beyond the regiment and headquarters. It's in the army area. Edwards is white. Apparently, Gasser has got an informant. An army headquarters is like 2nd Army, 3rd Army, 4th Army. You can't argue with that kind of rumor. So then he says, well, do you have any idea where we're going? This is always a nervous thing. At which point Edwards is standing there now looking, trying to look casual, but you can see the sweat pouring off his nose. Gasser then says, let's put it this way. Edwards, I have another bit of information for you. That the Army headquarters is making available to all of us extra GI insurance. Edwards, oh my God, extra GI insurance! You realize, of course, only in the case of highly hazardous duty. In fact, suicidal duty. Are you allowed to sign up for, say, $20,000 of GI insurance instead of $10,000? Well, now Edwards is shaking. Oh, God. And he says, do you know when this is going to be? You have any idea? See, he's figuring when he's going to go over the hills. When he's going to shoot himself in the foot or something. Yeah, any idea when it's going to be? Gaz, you're playing it cool. See, he's a true expert. He wrings out the foot of the fatigue a little more, and he says, well, no, not actually. In fact, it could be almost momentarily. However, I will tell you one thing, Edwards. It's a very interesting reason why we're shipping. Pregnant pause. At this point, everybody in the whole latrine stopped. Why are we shipping? The idea that we were shipping was something we'd always heard. And we were always going to be shipped to someplace where we'd be instantly disintegrated. But the why? Dead silence. You can hear the guys turning the showers off so they can hear you. The water stops. Gansy says, there's a lot of rumors around. But I'll tell you something I heard from 2nd Army Medical Headquarters. Oh, it's getting official. 2nd Army Medical Headquarters. It has to do with a... Well, I don't want to say any more about it. I don't want to cause you guys to worry. No, no, because what do you mean? What do you mean, worry? He says, all right, I'll tell you. Let's put it this way. It has to do with a certain virus that's found in this area. A certain virus found in this area. We're being shipped out because where we are is killing us. We don't know about it. Everybody's heat rash began to really hurt. Gosh, oh my God, I must have leprosy. What the hell is this? We're shipping out because this place is lethal. Of course, immediately everybody starts pumping gasser. I can't say anymore. Because I heard that anybody discusses this, it's a federal offense. Jesus. Federal offense. There was a dead silence. And you know, that rumor persisted for 2 years. Years after we shipped out of this place, I would meet guys and somebody would say, weren't you at the... I'd say, yeah. He says, my God, you survived. I heard they had some kind of a plague there. Thousands of guys died. Some kind of terrible virus. And I knew the man that started it. Years after I got out of the army, I met Gasser, and I said, Gasser, what about that virus? That fungus, or whatever the hell it was going to kill everybody.
He said that was great, wasn't it? That was a good one. Chris, what do you mean it was a good one? Because all the while I was figuring one day I was going to start withering away, you know. My head would start dehydrating or something. You mean you were kidding?
Oh, come on. How are you?
Yeah, he says, listen, he said, some of my rumors are now in medical textbooks. I started rumors that are still believed firmly by people of, you know, all over the world. He says, did you hear about the one that I started about radar making you sterile? That's a good one. You started that? Why, I don't...
You never know, gang. This is WOR New York. You stay tuned for Lester Smith and the news.
News and detail on the hour from the WOR newsroom. Action to end the United...